In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.
Congratulations on the Feast of the Pentecost. Today, as you know, is the birthday of the Church. And on any birthday, we expect from our parents, we expect from our Father to get us a good gift. And the Lord God, our Father, has given us, we can say, not a good gift, but the ultimate gift on the birthday of the Church today. And as the Lord Jesus had said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." So God the Father had promised to give us this gift, and today the promise is fulfilled. And what is the ultimate gift? First of all, you know that we believe in a Trinitarian God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each of the three persons of the Holy Trinity is equal in divinity. There is none who is higher or lower than the other. And in fact, each of the three persons of the Holy Trinity has given us something very valuable. The Father gave us His Son. The Father gave us His only begotten Son and gave us to inherit the kingdom. The Son gave us His life. He shed His blood willingly, every drop of His blood on the cross for our sake. And the Holy Spirit gives us Himself to dwell in us. So today the Holy Spirit is given as a gift to each one of us to dwell in us. And so we have become, we can say, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, or as a mansion for the Holy Spirit to dwell in, or in fact, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, no less holy, in fact, more and equally holy as the temple that is before us. And it is a great honor for any one of us if perhaps there's a visiting bishop who spends a few nights while he's visiting in one of our houses. We would be blessed to have a holy man spending some time in our house, even if just a few days. But here we have not just a holy man, we have the Holy Spirit of God Himself, God's own Spirit, not just dwelling with us for a few days, but dwelling in us forever. And that is indeed the best gift and a great honor. And as St. Paul says, he reminds us that we have to take it seriously. When you are given a gift that's powerful and you misuse the gift, then the consequence is worse than if you hadn't taken the gift. We have a very precious yet powerful gift, and if we use and interact with Him properly, with reverence, then we will benefit greatly. And of course, the corollary is if we don't, we would suffer. And St. Paul reminds us, he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" So our bodies are vessels for the Holy Spirit. And we will review quickly some points about the Holy Spirit. As we heard in the third hour of the Ishbeya, we pray every day, the Spirit of the Lord is a right and life-giving Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is a Spirit of prophecy and chastity. And the Spirit of the Lord is one of holiness, righteousness, and authority. And as you know, our prayers are taken from the Bible. And if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find that it is mentioned in the prophecies that the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. This is a prophecy about the Spirit coming upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it describes the Spirit as, in Isaiah chapter 11, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And it continues, His delight is in the Lord. So all who receive the gift of the Holy Spirit likewise receive, again, if we interact with the Holy Spirit properly, we receive wisdom, understanding, counsel, which is the ability to distinguish and rightly judge, courage, knowledge, fear of the Lord not meaning we're scared of the Lord, but we revere the Lord and we honor him and we're scared to hurt him. And we are devoted or delighted in the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of truth. And there is only one truth. This is a constant truth. There's no give and take. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of rebuke. The word rebuke is something that parents do to their children naturally when they love their children. Because as parents, we have a responsibility to teach our children right from wrong. So we have to rebuke our children in love. If I don't love my child, then I don't bother rebuking him or chastising him or teaching him what he's doing is right, encouraging him to do more right, or if he's doing something wrong, teaching him not to do. That's why in today's gospel, the Lord says about the Holy Spirit, he says, when I depart, I will send him to you, and this is what he says he will do. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, why? He says, of sin because they do not believe in me. And we'll talk about this in a second. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Spirit of the Lord rebukes or chastens or reminds or always is telling us about those three things. The first, he convicts us of sin. And this one is perhaps expected. But the Lord Jesus Christ, so what we mean here, he convicts us of sin, is when I sin or when I do something wrong, the Holy Spirit is pushing me to return and repent and reminding me right away. And the closer I am to the Holy Spirit and can distinguish his voice within me, the sooner I can react. And if I fall, which we all naturally fall, there is no shame in doing that, but the shame is ignoring his voice and refusing to get up. So he convicts me of sin. He convicts the world of sin. And the Lord Jesus says he convicts of sin because they do not believe in me. And it turns out that that's why we sin. We sin because we don't believe in Jesus enough, or we don't have enough faith. So the Holy Spirit, the more we have faith in Jesus, the more sin would be foreign to us. I could not hate, I could not lie, I could not cheat, I could not look at improper scenes, I could not listen to improper sounds if I realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is true and he is within me, he is around me, and he is guiding me. I have no need to cheat. I have no need to go elsewhere to be fed or to drink or to receive any joy. So the problem is I don't believe enough. And that's why he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. So if we believe in him, then we don't have to worry about sin. And then the Lord continues and he says, convict the world of righteousness. And what does it mean you're going to convict the world of righteousness? And the Lord says, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. If you in your place where you work or you go to school, you have a good friend who is righteous and is a spiritual person and God-fearing person, when he is in the room with you and your colleagues and friends, it's natural that you want to behave properly. If that individual moves away from you, then you could go to a tendency to, you know, perhaps have bad jokes or what have you. But when he's in your presence, you're reminded of the holiness and you are, that reminder helps me to stay also righteous. If he is taken away from me, then the Lord will not leave us orphans. He has sent us someone to dwell within us that will also convict us of righteousness. And this is a difference between conviction of sin and conviction of righteousness. Conviction of sin, even before we are baptized and confirmed and receive the Holy Spirit, there's a little bit of conviction of sin in each individual because we all have a conscience. We all know what's wrong, and we all, when we do something wrong, there's a natural realization that what I just did was wrong. When Cain killed his brother Abel, of course he knew what he was doing is wrong. And we all know what we're doing when it's wrong and that we should not have done it. But conviction of righteousness, not everyone, without the Holy Spirit, you would not know enough or have the power to fulfill the Lord's commandments that say, for example, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. You can't do that unless the Holy Spirit is there encouraging you and convicting you to do more and more righteousness. It's not for us enough to not sin. It's not for us enough to not do bad things. He who knows how to do good and does not do it, we are told, is also sin. So conviction of righteousness is encouraging to keep doing more and more good. And finally, the Lord says, and convict the world of judgment. So here, this is a reminder constantly that the day of judgment is coming. And here's where my choice comes in. It is up to me what happens to me on the day of judgment. It is up to me whether I, God forbid, are pulled up to the resurrection of condemnation, or, God willing, if I'm pulled up to the resurrection of eternal life. So there's a constant reminder of the judgment to come. But the Lord continues, in case some of us, when we sin, some of us have a tendency to give the devil too much credit and to say, the devil made me sin. So the Lord continues and says, you can no longer say that. You can no longer say that because I convict, or the Holy Spirit will convict of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The devil has already been judged. He has no control over you. He has no authority over me. It is only I who, if I willingly go to him, then I would fall into, God forbid, his satanic traps. But it is not him who has the ability to overcome me. It is I, if I do not use the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives me the power of the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection and ascension, if I don't use that power, and instead, if I go towards the devil, that's when I would be trapped. And there are three things that we are reminded in the Bible that we should make sure we do not do with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always advising us, as we said, to do good, to do more good. And when we fall, he's advising us how to repent and to turn around. But it is up to me. God, when he gives a gift, for example, he gave the Holy Spirit. God's gifts are eternal, forever. He gave me the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells with me. Unlike the Old Testament, where on the prophets and the kings and the priests, the Holy Spirit can come and can depart. We see, for example, that Saul was anointed with the anointing, and the Spirit of the Lord dwelt with Saul. But when he sinned, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. But in the New Testament, we have a gift that stays with us forever. But just because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me forever does not mean that I automatically benefit from the Holy Spirit, because I also have been given another gift. I've been given the gift of free will to choose what to do, so that I can't be like a robot that's moved here or there. But what I could, unfortunately, and sometimes I do, is I resist the Holy Spirit. I want to go here. He says, no, no, no. Go right, don't go left. I resist the Holy Spirit and I fight against him. And of course, this is not good. And the Holy Spirit will keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Sometimes I want to just shut him out altogether and I don't want to hear him. And you think if you have that bishop who's visiting you for a few days and he wants to give you some spiritual advice, and then you tell him, I'm watching the game. Sorry, I don't want to talk to you right now. Do you think that would be something pleasant to do to a holy man? And here we have the Holy Spirit of God himself who says, it's not that I want to watch the game. I know what you're going to say. I've heard it. I don't want to hear it. So at this stage, it's even worse than resisting. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within us, is not very comfortable. He's grieved. He's sad. He's not happy within me when I do that. And finally, if I persist in my insistence and in my stubbornness not to listen, then just like as a candle, if you cover it and you take away its light, it becomes dim and it could be quenched. So sometimes we're all baptized and we're all confirmed, and you see that our behavior is not suitable for the children of God, and you wonder what's going on. Is the Spirit of God not within me? No, it's still there, but I have successfully, or we could say I have unfortunately quenched the spirit. He's there, but he's not active in my life. I have forbidden him from being able to support me through this life out of my foolishness. And then, unlike if you heard in last night's Vespers Gospel, where the Lord said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's what's natural for us as Christians who have been baptized and received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we walk around flowing with rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit active in our life. We are proceeding and growing and spiritually mature and showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, as was mentioned in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. So if I don't have those 9 attributes that are active, then there's something wrong, because the Holy Spirit, naturally, when it grows, it flourishes and brings forth those 9 fruits. So if I'm not loving to my brothers or sisters, and it's perhaps easier to be loving in a public context. So I'm here in a public context, easy to be loving. I'm at school, easy to be good and loving with my friends. You need some help with this? Help them. Even in the street, someone's car's broken down, easy to be loving. Hard to be loving, perhaps, at home when no one sees the interactions between the husband and the wife, when no one sees the interaction between the parents and the children, when no one sees the interaction between the children and each other. If my younger brother or sister needs help with something, well, no one's looking, I don't need to help them. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, is true love. It's not only when someone's watching. It's true joy, not the temporary happiness that the world could give that is always followed by disaster, but it is everlasting joy. It's true peace, peace that is not dependent on the external situations, but it is dependent on the Spirit within us. And regardless if it's sunny or if it's cloudy or if they're persecuting me or if they're praising me, then I'm always at joy, at peace in the Lord. It is a great honor for the Spirit of the Lord to dwell within each one of us. It is a great gift that the Lord has given on this, the birthday of the church. And it is my choice whether that gift is fruitful or not. If I give to my son or daughter the ultimate gift I could give them, say you get them an iPad or something, and they look at it and they don't know how to use that thing and they start smashing it around or ignoring it, then they have abused the gift. You might as well not have given them the gift. But if they learn how to use it, take good care of it, and cherish that valuable gift, then they could benefit extremely from that gift. And the Lord did not give us a materialistic gift. He gave us his own Spirit to dwell with us. Just as the Father gave us his own Son and the Son gave us his own life, the Spirit gives us his own being to dwell in us. But we have to take good care and make sure that we benefit from the gift that he has given us. The Spirit is, as you also know, as we heard in the hymn, we use the word paraclete, which is comforter. So he doesn't only rebuke me, but he does it in a comforting way. And he comforts me and gives me the ability to go practically on a day-to-day basis throughout this life. Without God's Spirit and without his comforting Spirit, it is futile and it would be hopeful for me to try and live a good Christian life. There is no way I can benefit from the Lord's salvation that he fulfilled unless I do it through the Spirit of comfort that dwells within me. The Spirit of the Lord is also a spirit of transformation. The word transformation is change. What does he change me from? He changes me from my current state of a sinner to more and more being a saint. He changes me into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I let him, of course, the more I resist him, the more his efforts are unfortunately not put to good use. But the more I submit myself to him, the more that I will be transformed day by day, just as he was there in creation and created just as he is there in the baptism and recreates, gives us a new birth, he is there to continually transform me day by day if I do not resist and if I submit myself to his will. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Christos afton vo avshe na chofon benanim bebarak leton fayer lo erev rivina aknem bebyoten avarzos nem biebne So we believe in one God, God the Father, the one to Creator, all created heaven and earth, and all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God, begotten not created, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate the Holy Spirit and Virgin Mary, and became man, and he was crucified to us at toil of suffering, buried, and served. He rose from the dead, according to the
scriptures, ascended to the heavens,
he is coming again, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Lord giver, who
proceeds the Father,
the Son,
the
worship, and
the Father.
And in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we confess. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the coming age. Amen.
Shlil. Here in
get on there, my dear.